You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tim, of course, we're looking at a very topsy-turvy world right now because of the war against Iran. What's happening to the stock markets, and what's your analysis there?
Well, Jim, as we speak, it's Thursday, a little after about 12:30 Central Time, and we're up, I'm showing 680 on the Dow. You know, in my world, we had an intermediate term low coming out of the March 30th low, and that advance is still intact. And it will remain intact until, you know, I get a sell signal that says it's not. So in that respect, you know, up, up, and away. But in the grand scheme of things, I maintain, like I said, in the first interview we did after this started, is that I think that this is, in effect, in the short term, a reinflation effort, which it clearly has been, an avenue, if you will, from a market perspective. You know, a little air was let out of the bag, and then if you pay an attention to the market, you can see, and there's some other people talking about it. So I know one other person is talking about it, and he's pointing out the same thing. And I said, you can see how the market, you know, to start down and then go, oop, we got a deal. We're going to postpone this. Oh, you got 48 hours. We're going to give you another 10 days, or whatever the story is. And the market is being jerked around like a yo-yo. And in that respect, you know, a little air was let out of the bag, but it's also been a reinflation tool. And then certainly what is happening with crude oil to generate the inflation, that's also, as I say, a part of this reinflation effort. But I think that those efforts will ultimately fail. And like I said, it'll all become the cover story. But in the meantime, absolutely, the intermediate term advance out of the March 30th low is still intact, and crude oil is, we're retesting that high that was made right after this all started. I think it was a high at 119. We're off a little bit today, nothing significant, $2, like 2%. But, you know, crude oil is still trading at 104. So we have structurally in my world that we're seeing a retest of that intermediate term top. And, you know, this is going to continue like this until we get sell signals and things change. And in the meantime, it is successfully proving to be a reinflation effort, and the markets are holding here.
Are there any particular stocks driving this, AI or energy?
No, in fact, now it's been a few days since I looked at it. Something interesting, and someone else brought this to my attention, and this is not work that I do, but I think, you know, a lot of people know about it, but, you know, this was a couple of weeks old, so I have not looked at this personally. I'm repeating something that someone told me. But they said that, you know, the further out markets, you know, the months on the futures markets, they were trading at a discount to cash, which tends to be an indication that this is not a sustainable rally. And then I got to looking around at some of the oil stocks just out of curiosity, and they were not, you know, ExxonMobil was one of them that I looked at, and then Chevron, you know, looked at a couple of the big ones, and they were not confirming this advance in crude oil. And so that kind of tends to indicate to me, a subtle hint, but it does tend to be an indication that maybe this thing is not sustainable. You know, kind of like a Dow theory non-confirmation, if you will, between those stocks and what we're seeing in crude oil. So this is a very, very critical juncture. I think we're seeing, like I said, in the big grand scheme of things, it's part of the overall setup with the downturn out of this long-term economic cycle that we've been looking at for several years now. But it's a slow process. It's still in the making. And I stick to that. I absolutely stick to that 100% because I see what I see.
Do you think people are addicted to a rising market? They can't imagine anything but an up market, because it's been this way ever since the 2009 recession.
Oh, yes, it has. And people have been trained, Jim, to that point. People have been trained that, you know, buy the dip, everything's okay, Fed's got our back. And that's been true. That's been true, 100%. They have managed, and like I said, I have proven. You can see when you look at the acceleration points of the debt level, you can see where the government spending or via government spending, you see the inflationary shock, if you will, or shot into the economy, and you see every time the market will falter a little bit, you see that happen. I mean, it's clear as day once you look at it. And so they have done a wonderful job. I mean, look back at all the QE. It's been all about QE. It's been all about monetary policy. It's been all about stimulus. And even after COVID, you know, look at the stimulus that was thrown into market. Again, that was an inflationary effort from a market perspective, and that's what we're seeing here. So absolutely, everybody's been trained that, there's nothing to this. The Fed's got this. And they do. They do. And as of right now, they do. I'll repeat myself. I have an intermediate term buy signal. But I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, I think this is part of a setup, and they can do this until they can't. And I feel like that with this long-term economic cycle and some of the other things I see trying to set up, that this may be the point where this works for a little while, but inevitably, that's why I said it, it's a cover story now. I mean, excuse me, it's a reinflation tool now, but it turns into the cover story when it fails. That's why I said that. That's why I don't think this is sustainable. And yes, their ability to hold this time and time and time and time again has definitely trained Pavlov's dog, if you will.
Do you think the Fed plunge protection team is at work here to keep things propped up?
You know, I don't know if there are people in a smoky room somewhere that's, you know, well, people don't smoke anymore, but you know what I'm saying, and
yeah,
they know how to push the button at the right time. You know, I don't know if it's at that degree or not, but there's certainly a hidden hand, and I'm not the only one. Like I said, I know one other person. I know one other person who sees it, and it can be manipulation just through the news. I mean, look back, an example, and it drove me crazy. But if you go back to 2018 and 19, and we may have very well talked about this, we probably did. But if you go back to 2018, it was the same thing. It's the same thing. I can't believe people don't see it. But it was the tariffs. Oh, the tariffs. We got to deal with China. Oh, we don't have a deal with China. Oh, we got to deal with China. No, we don't have a deal with China. That went on for 2 years. It started in 18, went through 19, and the market finally peaked in 2020, and then the COVID fiasco was the cover story. And so we saw this also last April. If you'll remember, the decline was in conjunction with the tariffs. And then, oh, what are we going to take the tariffs off? Well, we're going to put them back on. Well, we're going to cut the tariffs. Well, we're going to... That, you don't have to be a plunge protection team. You can manipulate it with the news. And that is clearly what we're seeing here. And so this has been going on for quite some time. People just aren't connecting the dots.
Anytime someone questions a government official about this, they say, look at the numbers. They're so positive. Why are you questioning us? Is it a case of the lady doth protest too much?
I'm not sure I'm fairly following. Let me understand the real spirit of the question. What I mean, clarify your question for me.
Well, again, you said this is not sustainable, and yet we're being reassured. Don't worry, the Fed's got your back. It's different this time. Is it different this time?
In one respect, I think it is different this time because the bubble's bigger and it's harder to hold, and it's more dangerous. Every time it's saved, you blow the bubble bigger, and it takes more, and I've proven this too, it takes more and more and more and more and more stimulus, more effort to hold it. So in that perspective, yeah, I think it's different every time, but it's also more dangerous every time. So in that respect, it is different. But continue to manage to be able to do it. And from another perspective, you know, if you or I or the other person was in their shoes, you know, and I'm trying to be fair about what I'm saying here, you know, we may do the same thing, because what I'm saying is at stake. If with the downturn out of this long-term economic cycle, is the entire global financial system. I stick to that. The first attempted downturn out of this long-term cycle was in 07, 08, 09. And the second attempted downturn was in 2020. And it was saved both times. The first time we saw the QE programs, and Obama came out with his stimulus package, which was dwarfed by today's standards. And then in 2020, we saw the same sort of thing. That one was brief, but he hit it hard with an enormous amount of stimulus, blew us up into here. And now we're sitting with this third attempted downturn. So knowing what's at stake and standing in their shoes, hell, I'd probably do the same thing. You know, to try to hold things together. So I see it from both sides.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, the UAE has pulled out of OPEC. Is that the first crack in an organization that has had a monopoly on worldwide oil prices since, I think, 1972?
You know, it may be. I don't know. You know, I question everything I see and wonder what the real motive behind it is. I don't know. I heard that, but I haven't given it a lot of thought. I will say that, you know, crude oil prices, like I said, when we talked about them earlier, so far I think it's a 119 was the high that we saw back in early March, right after this happened. So far that hole has held and we're testing it. I don't know about the OPEC organization or what that may mean, but obviously it does appear, at least on the surface, that maybe that's what we're seeing, but I really have no opinion and don't know. I just think that ultimately, you know, I'm not saying that this rally and it run up in crude oil is over by no means, but I just don't think that it is sustainable either. You know, kind of like the shot up to, I think it was, what was it, low 140s, 142, 143, maybe 145 in 08. You know, that was in conjunction. I want to remind everybody that was in conjunction. I mentioned it a while ago, the downturn from 07. And I'm speaking in terms of equities, that was in conjunction with the first attempted downturn out of the current long-term economic cycle, and crude oil pressed higher into 08, went parabolic, peaked, that was part of the setup, and then it all crashed. And what I'm saying is, I think this is something potentially similar, where crude oil prices, yeah, they're up and away. I mean, you got to be an idiot to deny that, and I'm not. But I'm saying I think it's part of the overall setup that's happening, and I think, again, trying to hold crude oil prices with the noise of the what's going on with the war is part of the reinflation effort that is happening here.
Now, I just looked it up. OPEC was actually formed back in September 1960 in Baghdad, Iraq. It's just, I guess, we never noticed them until the energy crisis of the early 70s.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to speculate on that. I have no idea, but like I said, who knows?
Now, gold, is it performing the way you expected?
Yeah. We had obviously a significant high back in January. And we've tested that high. We tested it once in March, and then we've tested that high, and so far that's failed. And now we've moved in the short term into a little low. We're seeing a bounce today, and I think we have a little short term cycle low in place, and we're going to see another test. And I think that gold is potentially, and I say that because I want to see how this develops and what we see coming out of this little short-term low here, but I think gold is potentially setting up with a significant top with this over in conjunction with this overall setup. That said, you know, you've asked me before, but there's always new listeners. You know, I think that when this does bite and it turns down, I think all asset classes pretty much go together. But I do not think gold is going to be hit as hard as equity. So I do think there's an aspect with gold that will be somewhat of a safe haven, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to take a lick as well, because I firmly believe that, particularly if I get the structure in place with the longer term cycles, then I think that it is going to correct. Absolutely. I think it will correct. But again, to repeat myself, I do not believe gold will be hit as hard as equities once the setup bites.
Real estate in Canada, condos in Vancouver and Toronto especially, coming down in price. People are seeing prices come down, so why pay more than you have to? Plus, mortgage rates are high. Do you see the same thing in the U.S.?
I haven't. I know the real estate market in my area has cooled somewhat, and I don't have any numbers or anything specific, but it's clearly not what it was. And I know that from some of the construction, some of the home improvement places, some of that sort of thing. In fact, there was one home improvement place. They did mostly kitchen stuff, you know, cabinets and that sort of thing, up the highway from me, and they're gone. They closed. And so, you know, during that COVID reinflation that went on and the housing boom that happened after that, you know, they opened up and they were just lickety split, you know. You always saw cars there and they were busy, but now they're gone. And so I'm definitely seeing in my area somewhat of a slowing. And I think that is a sign of the underlying weakening of the underlying economy. I see that in the, you know, I have a little bit of an interest in, I just have, you know, as a hobby, you know, car stuff, hot rod stuff. And I'm seeing a slowing in the spending there. So I think this economy is slowing. And it goes back to what I'm saying, or we're saying earlier about crude oil, for example. That is, like I said, in the short term, yes, it's a reinflation effort that at this point is working, but it's a little bit longer term. It's a tremendous burden, additional burden on this economy, and I think we're seeing the signs of it with slowing real estate, slowing car sales, and particularly some of the aftermarket hot rod stuff, and it's, you know, other aspects. I suspect if you looked at potentially, I don't know, I haven't looked at this, but I wonder if you looked at like boat sales, RV sales, and some other stuff like that, if you didn't see the same sort of thing.
Tim, anything else you think we should be keeping a close eye on, metals prices and so on?
Nope. I think that, you know, I think that interest rates are key. I think that on the long end, we could see interest rates still drift a little bit higher before the downturn resumes. And I think ultimately rates will go lower, but they may continue higher, firmed higher in the interim. That's all part of the setup. And, you know, this all paints a picture of where we are with this overall setup. And that's something I'm following in the research letters and putting out every other day in the updates and then in the monthly letters. But other than that, you know, it's just a matter of watching all the cogs in the wheel fall in place. And long term, and we're still in the process.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thank you for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask those questions for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. And Twitter is now known as X. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time.
Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.